like good singing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Romans. Tonight in Romans. In the book of Romans. I was going to preach a little while on when the red bird flies. But I couldn't get a passage to go with it, so Romans chapter 6. If you find the place you're able to stand, look in verse number 22. Romans chapter number 6 and about verse number 22. But now being made free from sin, what a good phrase that is. And become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Father, we want to thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you for the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead, guide, direct us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. We do thank you for these that have gathered tonight. Be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on just a familiar passage that we know something about, and that is the wages of sin and the gift of God. Now, sin has everybody in bondage. Everybody that's ever been born or ever will be born is born a sinner. There's only one sinless person that's ever been born. He was born of a virgin. His name's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that the rest of us, we are born as a sinner. This Bible says that over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 about verse 20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Everybody that we're talking about is a sinner without hope, without God. In other words, if you live without the Lord and you die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. It won't make any difference what anybody wants to say in your behalf on the plus side. They're not going to buy any favor whatsoever with God. In verse number 23 of chapter 3 in the book of Romans, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then to tell you the other inside of that coin, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, we're talking about the wages of sin. Do you realize that all the good works, all the benevolent acts won't buy you anything whatsoever with God? You know, if you ask the average religionist, if you ask my kin folks, yeah, your kin folks, what do you think it'd take to get to heaven? They're going to tell you now, I think you ought to do right, and I think you ought to be good to your neighbor, and I think you ought to, you know, and they'll tell you all the good deeds and the benevolent acts that they could possibly involve in. Somebody said one time about a person, and I've heard it many times, and they said, well, I can tell you one thing, is that now that they're gone, buddy, not only do we miss them, but I can promise you, if they didn't make it to heaven as good a person as they were, then none of us ought to try, need not try. You're going to hear that every now and again. Number one, I'm not trying to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven because of the fact that I came as an empty-handed beggar and repented toward God by faith, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two is all the good deeds and the benevolent acts and the money that you gave and the works you performed, there's not one iota would it ever try to buy you any favor with God. I'll tell you, that's what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor that'll let you get born into the family of God. Notice, if you will, please, is that the only thing, while you turn to Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter number 5 and about verse number 12, the only thing you're ever going to get for working as hard as you can as a sinner is the wages of sin is death. Sooner or later, you're going to die. I'm closer to it now than I was this morning. Every time it clicks over, and boy, let me tell you right now, whenever you get the age of my wife and I, it's moving pretty fast. And I'm not complaining. I'm glad I'm closer to going to the other side than I am from where I came from. But make no mistake about it, I'd like to be busily occupied about his business when he comes again. I don't want to be ashamed at his appearing. I'm not one that wants to just be saved yet so as by fire I'd like to be able to have some crown to be able to throw at his feet and show he's worthy. In Romans chapter number 5, let me tell you, in verse number 12, notice, if you will, that the reason we're in this condition, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. You know how sin got here? So I'm about to tell you. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He's talking about Adam, and he tells you that in the next couple of passages that are there. And especially in verse number 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, so forth and on. Now, beginning with verse number 15 of Romans 5. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, look at that. Free gift, that's not something you got to look at, work over, work for. The offense you got because you're born a sinner. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, he's talking about Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto, look at it, many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift, and he mentions it again, is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. In other words, he's trying to be able to nail it down in simplicity that the gift of God brings eternal life. And that everyone that is born in this world has physical life. But not everyone that's born into the world has eternal life. And you need to differentiate between the two. All right, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of the one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, talking about Jesus Christ and the redemption price he pays, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. I thought all had sinned. Now here only many's made sinners. We're going to get to that in a moment. So by the obedience of one shall look many. I thought God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believed in him not perish but have everlasting life. But now we're narrowing it down to the many. Shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let me say it again so that you'll know it. Everybody that's born of a woman is born into the world. They have physical life, but not everybody has eternal life. And let me tell you something, is that the Apostle Paul here, that he might be able to educate somebody about the difference between physical things and spiritual things or eternal things. Things that are physical, they're temporal. And let me tell you right now, is nobody's going to live here in this earth and on this earth forever. Sooner or later, your time and number's coming out, and you're going to leave this world that we're living in. Now, how you leave this world and where you end up is going to determine what you did with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ while you were alive in this life. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that people that are educated to the hill, that's great. People that are successful beyond measure, wonderful. But let me tell you right now is, without it, Jesus Christ, they have no eternal life. I want to say that when you begin to look into it and you begin to recognize and realize is that the ground is leveled at the cross. And let me tell you, not everybody wants to come before the cross. You know, what the Lord wants to do is that he wants us to take up the cross. And we're not talking about some little pretty thing to wrap around your neck, wears a cuff link, so forth and on. He's talking about he wants you to die to yourself and be alive unto Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to say something, if you will, please, is that not everyone wants to come to the cross, but by the obedience of Christ, many shall be made righteous by the blood of the Lamb of God. Now, I want to ask you this tonight before we proceed further. Are you one of the many? See? We know whenever God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the redemptive price for the world. But not all the world wants it. But those who do want it, and those who do get in, they're in the category of the many. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that why do you think that God tells us narrow is the way that leads unto life? Few there be that find it. That's narrowed down, isn't it? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. Now, I want you to watch this when you begin to look into it, is because you'd better look at what path you're on. You're either on the broad road that leads to hell, or you're on the narrow road that leads to life. And let me say to you that you'd better look at the path you're leading or that you're following and find out which way it's leading you. In the book of Hebrews, and I'll give you a moment to find that, in chapter number 9. Hebrews in chapter number 9, the Bible said in verse number 27 and 28. Now watch the passage as we look into it very carefully. He says in verse 27, Hebrews 9, and as it is appointed unto me and once to die, but after that the judgment. Now there's an appointment there that I don't care how busy people are, they're going to keep this appointment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Look at it. And unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin to salvation. Let me tell you, God may love the world, but it's only the many that want to come to him as an empty-handed beggar and confess him as their Lord and Savior. Those are the ones that'll get born again into the family of God. Notice in your Bible, in the book of 1 Timothy, days gone by, not many moons ago probably, and if it is, then it's been overdue, but in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and I want you to look in verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, that because we trust in the living God, who is, now watch it, the Savior of all men. That's potentially. Like there's a lot of people out there in the world, he's not their Savior. Potentially he could be. But then notice he said, especially of those that believe. That's actually. Potentially, if you're here tonight or you're in the sound of my voice, you have a Savior. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you right now is, you can be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. You can fall on your face before the cross of Calvary and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God and be saved. That's potentially. But it's only going to be actually if you believe him. Now, here's the reason why, when you begin to look into it, is that the whole simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation is yours to have. In other words, nobody's ever going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ begging to be saved, wanting to be saved, and God said, no, I'm not going to save you. That's not the way it works. The reason why a person doesn't get saved, regardless of how religious they've been, regardless of how many times they've been to church, how many times they've done any good benevolent deed, regardless of whatever they've accomplished in life, the reason they die religious but lost without God because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, and you're going to need this sooner or later there, 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, over there in the passage that we're looking at. I was listening to an old Calvinist preacher one time. And he was just talking about the grace of God and so forth and on, and God knows about those that are his, and whatever it is to be will be, and whatever ain't to be won't, and so forth and on, and if you're one of God's elect, and he just lied out of one side of his mouth, and then it slobbered over on the other. People not born to go to heaven are born to go to hell, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. Don't ever believe that junk. Here's a Bible passage for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And notice why they perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That makes Mr. Calvinist a liar. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Why? Because when they heard the truth and they could have received the truth, they received not the love of the truth. That's what it says. That they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what keeps a man that's lost without God, that's a sinner still without Christ? You know what makes a person refuse Christ and still live in sin? There's a pleasure in sin for a season. And they're enjoying what they can for that season. But I got to tell you something. There'll be no such thing whenever the Lord should come again as somebody will be crying from hell and saying, well, why wouldn't you let me be saved? Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. And when you could have received it, you said no to it till finally God sent you strong delusion that you'd believe a lie and be damned to a devil. That's what he says. That's very simple, isn't it? Very simple. So whenever you talk about the broad road has many that are going to destruction, that's people that are not saved. And when you talk about the many that have been saved and believe Christ, on the other hand, and let me tell you right now, is what a great host there'll be in heaven. But there'll be few compared to what's gone to hell in this world that we're living in. But let me tell you right now, not all the world's going to be saved. There's going to be many that believe him. And when they do, they'll be washed by the blood of the Lamb and put into the family of God, sealed until till the day of redemption. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about the gift of God, about the free gift of grace that he's afforded you and I the luxury of being able to have and receive as our Lord and Savior. Now, in closing tonight, do you know him? Do you know him? And then if you don't know him, I hope and trust God will knock upon your heart's door and will grant you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. And Lord, how good it is to be in the family of God. And I pray that now if there's one here tonight without God, may you pound heavily upon their heart's door. May they find no peace until they find peace with thee. We want to say thank you now for all you've done, for all you're doing in Jesus' name.